brought to you by Penguin.
The Shadow Key by Susan Stokes Chapman. Read by Richard Harrington.
Gall pechod mawr ddyfod trwy ddrws bychan. A great sin can enter through a small door. Welsh proverb. He wakes to the unmistakable smell of sulphur and a room as black as pitch. What woke him, he cannot rightly say. There is a chill to the room that can only be accounted for by the cold Welsh stone. Stone which retains little heat, even with a fire burning fierce in the grate. There is the screech of a barn owl, a sound that has always soothed him despite its harsh hunter's cry. There too has been the sound of running water from the stream abutting the gatehouse. Its watery chime a boon to his tired mind rather than a bane. And of course, that smell of sulphur. It comes and goes. He has tried to account for it, consulted Plas Helig's gardener about the matter. Fungus in the water, he was advised. A consequence of the stream being so close to the wall, compounded by a lack of natural light on account of the crowding trees. Or, perhaps, the smell comes from the mines up on the nearby hill. If the wind blows a certain way, such things might be possible. In any case, he was told, it is no cause for concern, and so the smell is something he has grown accustomed to. It is not so very bad, after all. Still, something is different this night. He tries to place the anomaly, stares wide-eyed into the dark, but soon it is no good. With a groan he swings his legs out of bed, and in the dark his gnarled toes feel for the slippers on the rug, pushing the soft pumps onto his feet, first one, then the other. It takes him a moment to stand, to accustom himself to the stiffness in his joints. He almost changes his mind, almost sinks back down on the feather mattress. But now he has exerted himself, it seems futile to have wasted the accomplishment. And so he forces himself to the window, pulls the curtains apart on their rings. There is no moon, the trees that surround the house unfathomable. He sees nothing. Only when the old man moves to turn away does he apprehend what is out of place. What it was that must have woken him. For there is nothing else to account for it. Beneath the familiar sounds of rural night, the running water of the stream, like an undercurrent, he hears it, whispering. With shaking fingers, he twists the window latch, pushes the pane up into its casement, leans out, strains to listen, frowns. It is no louder. He thought perhaps it was the wind whispering through the willows up at the mansion, or those nearby at the family vault. Perhaps, even, the lull of the sea across the valley a mere 2 miles away. It happens sometimes on a clear night. Yet, he begins to lower the sash, wonders if his hearing has started to fail him, if his body has found one more damnable way to bow to his advancing years. He has diagnosed it in others, the bewitched ear, common in older folk. But what is this? Fingertips pressing onto the glass, he peers down. Nothing wrong with his eyes. A light. A lone red orb has appeared between the trees. No, not an orb. A small dancing flame, a candle, he is sure. As he watches, the flame begins a slow trajectory toward the gatehouse, and he strains into the darkness, tries to discern a body connected to the candle, but perceives none. All he can see is that one single suspended light. Who goes there? There is no answer. No variation to the candle's movement, no pause to those infernal whisperings. The red light, such an odd colour for a flame, bobs along on its journey before it disappears, cut off by the wall below. Gone. His sister often speaks of the Tolaeth, supernatural warnings of death or some other approaching of a calamity. Corpse candles, these. Well, he has never set any store in them, not in any of the local superstitions. He is a man of science, has no patience for silly delusions. Candle it may be, but no corpse about it to be sure. What a notion, he thinks grimly, slamming the window shut. Enide always did have a fertile imagination. The old
sample complete. Ready to continue?